So this is post Laughing Dragon coming out. Jeff's potentially won the whole event with this initiative deck. We're going to Eternal Weekend.
I mean, if he wins with the initiative deck, next week is like the Legacy Podcast. It takes the initiative like my mom always asked me to.
I think that's the one you use right there, because really you have to have the initiative now to have made this joke.
It's
in like the minority report.
Now this is the B-roll. Like, now we're in B-roll territory.
Oh, fine.
I was bad in time about to drop in. I was dredging loam and making 2020s. Oh, yeah. I yearned to win an MTG. Then Insectile Aberration and Darcy. And the winds, they came flying in. Lately, I'm casting the big bad Murktide. Giving in to the dark side. Gonna express a 2-for-1. I love to interrupt you casting your spells, and I got the days in my hand, cause you're not gonna pay the one. There's a card that makes you feel smart. It costs 7, you dealt 5, and it's basically free. This card, it wins the game itself, and in 2 swings it eats the opponent's health. And the winds, they came flying in. Lately I'm casting the big bad Murktide, giving in to the dark side. I'm gonna express of a 2-for-1. I loved interrupt casting your spells, and I got the D's in my hand, cause you're not gonna pay the one.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Threshold, the Legacy Podcast that was bruised and battered. Couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself. Going to the streets of Philadelphia. My name is Quinn Omori, and I'm here as always. I told you Jeff would laugh. Laughing co-host, Jeff Kinsey.
The best part, too, is I'm trying to picture whatever song we ended up doing fading into that song, and it's going to be perfect.
I guess maybe we ruined it, because like that would be perfect for like post Eternal Weekend, right? We'll roll it back. How many people listen to everything? Can't be a lot.
How many people listen at all?
We're making Brendan wait. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into that?
How's the weather over there? Looks good.
It's cooled down. It was unnervingly hot. Like it just. You know, when you think about, you're trying to think about climate change, but you know it's coming. Mm-hmm. And when you're wearing shorts in the middle of October, it doesn't feel great. But now, you know, had a coat on. It's not too cold. It's not too warm. It's about what you feel like. And we're here as always with our co-host, Brendan McBain. McBain, how's it going?
Hi, guys.
You're going to have to edit this pause out. You got to jump in.
All right. It's good to be here. Thanks.
I like to think you just take off when
the soft intro.
When we're doing that.
Yeah, it was actually one of those like background clips where you just like screenshot yourself with the background looking at the camera, and then you actually just leave and turn your camera off or whatever.
It's too bad we're not like simulcasting to YouTube, because when I said I told you Jeff would laugh, your face just screamed like, yeah, of course he's gonna fucking laugh. He laughs at everything. Like you said many words just with your facial expression.
Look, I just like to boost everyone up, man. I just got to give everybody that dopamine when I can.
I love it. Am I funny? I don't know. Am I funny to you? I think so. That's enough for me. On that note, no, I'm not on the note at all. But let's do some housekeeping, because there's actually exciting housekeeping now.
There's housekeeping, and it feels like one of the only times in a while, too, there's housekeeping that for us in this timeline is in the future, but really for everyone else is now in the past. So I'm just going to leap into something that's in the future for everyone, unless for some reason you're listening to this a long time from now. Eternal Weekend officially announced in true Card Titan style. They waited roughly until the event would typically be to announce the dates. So December 8th to 11th at the Philadelphia Convention Center.
Pennsylvania Convention Center, right?
Is it the Pennsylvania Convention? Is it? I thought I pasted it. Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia.
Like big dogging Pittsburgh there. Pittsburgh Convention Center is the Pittsburgh Convention Center. Philadelphia's. We rep the state. No disrespect to Pittsburgh, which we
5 minutes from Jersey. This is the Philadelphia Convention Center.
Also, yeah, good point there. Geography podcast.
So this is very cool. I think we all maybe kind of mentally wrote off that Eternal Weekend would even really be happening this year.
I think everyone wrote off that it was happening. And Europe still wrote it off.
Yeah. Yeah. It also felt like the kind of Giga gave up because everybody had expectations, I think, for no in-person. And then the expectation for maybe a Magic Online thing was there and that wasn't happening. So, you know, to see it just come right out and be in paper is great. I do believe, though, that due to scheduling, it's the same weekend as the Showcase Championship on Magic Online, which isn't a concern for any of us or, to hazard a guess, likely most of our listeners.
But it's also qualifier weekend, right?
What, for like Worlds, like, or something?
Whatever the thing Tristan gets to go to.
Oh, who knows? Real professional Magic players over here.
Yeah, so it'll be softer.
Only the true day one GP. Eternal fans are there. People who are not good at other formats. Actually, do people who get a Legacy actually guess what we'll be there either?
And didn't a guy, was this Nathan, who won the world champion?
Zoomer?
Yeah, isn't he like a Vintage player as well?
Zoomer Vintage.
In classic Zoomer fashion.
Yeah, but Zoomer Vintage is like, they only deal in NFTs. They don't deal with the paper product.
Right. Yeah. Obviously. I think this is awesome.
Yeah, and this is extremely cool.
Like, they did, you know, you have to give it to them. Like, they had a reputation to uphold. And they like double faked and
push the envelope every year.
And they got everyone. Like,
this cannot be a good business decision, right? like, is it true? Do you think it truly is that like stuff isn't finalized until like a month before the event?
Like, so I think I'm going to echo what Julian speculated on Everyday Eternal and the most deceptively named Legacy podcast. And he basically said, because the Europe one wasn't announced in paper, he's like, you know, I think they had like some of the things unlock, but they were like waiting to get all of the other ones so they could announce at the same time. And then they just got to the point where they're like, we just need to push this and Europe's just not happening. We don't have a vendor to work with us. That one feels like the most like Occam's razor approach.
You're not wrong, but this is also roughly the case always. This is just pushed back.
Yeah.
Like, what's but I the can most easily notice? See that
as being a thing. I could very well see someone doing that calculation in the same way. It's like, what's been like legal in Legacy the shortest amount of time? Which one was banned first? And there's always those like running charts.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily see one for like Eternal Weekends and be like, oh, this is the most short notice ever. Can you believe it?
As soon as he said you got a hand to them, all I could think about was that drill tweet.
Yeah, you do not under any circumstance.
I did get my random brainwave of making the Wheel of Fortune meme with like, you're spinning the Wheel of Fortune, like the art where I put on like going to Eternal Weekend or like having a baby or like you have holiday plans or something. Cause it feels like that for like any adult, I swear.
Mm-hmm. I was so close to like booking a different vacation. like Liz and I were going to go to San Diego like this month. And like that fell through. And I was like, do you want to go somewhere else? And I was like, some good ideas. And she's like, no, like, I think I just got to like, cause neither of us did like have Christmas with our parents in the last 2 years. It's like, I think we're just going to fly home. So like, maybe we'll just do like one Christmas separately. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Cause like, I can't really, my mom would kill me if I like spent my first Christmas in 2 years, like not out of town. And it makes sense that like Liz wants to go see her family. So she's like, maybe I'll just use my vacations for that. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And my family's in town. So I'm like, okay, I'll find somewhere else to go. And I'm like mulling around being like, I don't know what I want to do. And then like Eternal Weekend pops up and I'm like, cool, I'm home free. And I have seven vacation days left to burn.
I love that. It's the boomeriest of magic events where every single person who is attending needs to like check with like their baby or dog sitter and like make sure they're okay to leave their family like things. That doesn't happen for like other events, you know, like any modern event that comes to town, everybody's been up since, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning the day before and they just head on down.
Yeah, because the average age of like a modern event and a legacy or vintage event is like double.
Right. So what I'm saying is that we need the time. you gotta like clockwork.
We get the least amount of time.
But is this how I become legacy champion? I just have to beat you guys because no one else can come.
Maybe.
Your odds like, I don't feel confident in my abilities, but like I beat you guys before once or twice. I'm not saying it's like plus 50%. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's happened.
So I did go back and look because I was like, before the cast were talking like, oh, you know, it was, wasn't it in Columbus and then Pittsburgh, Columbus, Pittsburgh. And I went back and in 2014, it was actually held in Philadelphia, October 24, 26 of 2014. And Mr. Ari Lax won the legacy portion, which is pretty impressive. Do you want to hear some of the
legacy was like a Star City main event at certain times.
Where is the top eight? Oh man, I'm like some of the words that I'm scrolling by. I'm like seeing Shardless, Ad Nauseam, Pox, Maverick, High Tide. Good Lord. So you won a Wasteland, which looks pretty sick, actually.
Wow. That shit's crazy. Well, unfortunately, the Eternal Weekend we're going to, which will be sick.
Jeff. He won with Death and Taxes.
Whoa.
2014
Death and Taxes? That's like hard mode.
Name some cards that are two Mirror or three Crusader. Ups in the deck.
Sarah three Mirroring
Crusaders. zero, I guess he was innovative. Zero Sarah Avengers.
Mangara.
Two Mangaras.
Holy shit.
Wow.
There's another Phyrexian Revoker. There's like the good shit.
There's four Revokers.
Oh, yeah.
There's one Fiend Hunter.
Yep. I remember all the forum posts about that.
All right. You ready for the last two?
Phyrexian Revoker and Cabal Therapy. Like sometimes you just kind of knew what someone was on. Like when it's like local, it's less funny. But when you just like are in a tournament and you've played like one fetch land, you know, like you're on the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And your opponent's just like Phyrexian Revoker, and they just like look at you, and you're like, "I'm gonna fetch." You get no, you just get no, it's not lands, right?
Yeah, it's not lands. I mean, that doesn't stop 50% of the player base from fetching.
Anyways, but they look at you and they just like they're like, and they name a card, and you're like, "Fuck!" Like, fuck. What do I look like? How did you know?
Yeah, I feel stereotyped.
I have fond memories of like, you know, on the play, turn two, Phyrexian Revoker, and you just look and you go, Liliana the Veil, and they're like,
I used to be attack. In like the Reanimator Discord, people would be like, oh, should I play like Cabal Therapy? And for like a brief period of time, there's just like this like, well, if you're good, you play Cabal Therapy. Like if you understand, like if you have deep knowledge of Legacy, you play Cabal Therapy.
It's just Thoughtseize with upsides.
So another Discord, the source. Yeah, obviously.
Oh man, this is a beautiful top eight. Okay, I'm just gonna go over the last two of Aven Mind Censor. Yeah,
this is in 2014 Censor. Magic.
Yeah, this is some mad. So just briefly, finalist, runner up, Osip Libedowitz, I always say that last name wrong, was on Blue Red Delver. A nice classic. Yeah, like what's changed? Ooh. Here we are. Here we are still.
What's changed is they got a big dragon that they cast now.
Yeah, they, instead of three true names, it's just three Murktides. We also had Greg Price on Legacy Mud. Mad after your heart, Quinn. This is probably
right, like with like Metalworker.
Four Metalworker, Koldova, Worm Coil, Blight Steel, Lodestone Golem, Staff of Nin as a one of.
Back when magic was magic and artifacts were brown.
Exactly. We have another Death and Taxes. Very similar list, except there's two Leonin Relic Warders. Still got two Aven Mind Centers. The one
Three Mirrored Crusader.
Three Mirrored Crusader locked in. Got some Humilities in the sideboard.
Some because sort why not? Of Body of Mind in the sideboard. That's some Phil Gallagher propaganda.
Yeah, I can't even think about what that one does.
Pro green and blue, and they mill 10 and you make a wolf. That was some It was some anti true name tech that was pure propaganda in order to throw the match.
The man after the podcast heart, we've got Richard on. Is this our Richard? Richard Nguyen? Doesn't he play with us sometimes?
Our Richard? That is Richard's name, but Nguyen is such a common last name.
Yeah, it's got his picture up above. I'll check in a moment. But Rug Delver with some beautiful Nimble Mongoose. This is a very stock Delver list, except it's playing Probe, which is, you know, we could debate that.
This is the only time I'll hear stock Delver list, and I'll be like, hell yeah. Is when there's then, like Tarmogoyf and Nimble Mongoose.
We've got another Bug Delver, and then we've got Storm rounding it out. Oh, no, no, never mind. Sorry. And then there's Paul Lynch on Blue, White, Red Miracles. This is a pretty cool top eight. You got
with Shackles and Helm of Obedience. Like, Helm is already like, you know, spice level. And then
Shackles Hel- used to be like,
Shackles.
Oh. Shackles used to be tech way back in like 2011, 2012. But two Enlightenator, Jesus Christ.
One magic Mystic was, Gate.
Magic players were bad.
As evidenced by the Mystic Gate. You're playing Mystic Gate in your Vedalken Shackles deck. What are you doing?
Wait, are you saying this is 2014?
Yeah.
This is not a Richard.
I'm here when 8 years later saying you made a mistake.
When I look up 2014, it's like a totally different top eight.
Oh, this is 2013, I think, actually. Well, either way, yeah, it's 2013 for sure. Still, it's an Eternal Weekend.
It's 2013. Okay. Look at that. Anyway, just change.
It's a thought that counts.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything else is still the same. It's just 2013. It's
2013, wild, man. Kevin Cron top eighting the Vintage Championship.
What did he top eight with the Vintage?
I saw Kevin last... Eternal Weekend. I said, thank you for your great podcast, sir.
Did you tell him you fall asleep?
No, I did not. There's only one person in the world who will do that. Bro, I love your podcast. Fall asleep to it all the time. Thanks, I guess. So Quinn, you and I are going to Eternal Weekend. Jeff, you're like 90%+.
90%+.
You're so inching closer and closer.
Yeah. My decision is made much easier by this timing because I'm going to be in Toronto for work the week leading up to it. So really work is trying, you know, getting me from Vancouver to Toronto and then back. So just getting from Toronto to Philadelphia and then going home from Philadelphia is a much easier swing to do when I'm talking about, you know, going to the East Coast for magic. Right. So very, very appealing. It means I probably wouldn't show up until Saturday morning, but looking at the schedule, just in time, baby. It'll be just like last time we were at Eternal Weekend and we were overnight at Newark, and then we showed up, you know, went to the hotel, dropped our shit off, and went to the convention center.
But that was Friday, wasn't it? We were there still normal time.
I think it was like day of for some stuff we wanted to do. Stuff was like tight and ugly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, yeah, I'm, you know, 90% right now, inching ever closer. So very, very, very cool, very excited, because when this was announced, I was like, Eternal Weekend, like, yeah, hell yeah. And then I was like, oh, I don't think I can go. And then, you know, that's been flipped to I'm extremely likely to go. So looking forward to it.
I think we've talked probably on the podcast. I can, maybe I kept it private, but there's been like multiple times where you guys have been like, do I go to this thing? And I'm like, I don't really want to go to this city, unnamed city.
Name it.
Well, there's several, but when I saw this, like if it was in Pittsburgh again, having not been to Pittsburgh, not knowing what to expect, I was like, I'd go to Pittsburgh again if I had a reason to do it, you know, like. But Philly was like, I'm like, yeah, like I want to go to Philadelphia someday. And like, this year is the day. Which is great because I have been practicing magic very hard. And so I might have several days where I don't have to play magic that I need to kill time. And so it's perfect.
I'm excited. This is going to be awesome.
Pack up my mono green old school, maybe flip some Chaos Orb, who knows?
Hell yeah.
Elliot was sending me some videos from the last Eternal Weekend, and there's us, I think, quite drunk at the airport practicing Chaos Orb flips, and I just completely fucking whiffed one.
And then there was only McBain owned one, right?
Yeah, I think we're just flipping cards. And then there was a nice and tender video that I think is only for the Can Thresh After Dark subscribers of you and I in bed, Quinn, looking at like deck lists. Just wow, one or two of those, and just like loose, like softly reaching over, and, like pointing. It's very just tender. A couple
of guys being dudes.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to repeat that again this year.
That was right when I was first getting my initial fentanyl hits of Slay the Spire,
mm-hmm,
and going in deep.
And now I got another one for you this trip. I'll turn you on to Monster Train.
No, I still need to work through. I'm still working through Slay the Spire.
What's Monster Train?
It's the same kind of thing. Deck building, yeah. Roguelike game.
Yeah. I recently, slight tangent, got Ascension 20 on Ironclad, Silent, and Defect.
Damn, just watch.
I don't even know. I don't think I played Slay the Spire since we went to Eternal Weekend.
Oh, it's so good.
Such a good Monster game. Train is Monster Train first class. Is that it?
I don't know. Is that like a? That sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it does.
I looked up Monster Train Switch, and that's what came up.
I don't think it's on Switch.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, Monster Train first class. Okay, no, that is it. Huh, all
right. It's 50% off right now. Should I buy it?
There you go. Go for it. Wonderful. Great tangent. Can I do a hard tangent as well, back towards magic, but slightly out of order of some stuff from what we've been talking about?
No.
Is that okay? No? Okay.
Now do it anyway.
So there's an event that I didn't mention in housekeeping because it's this weekend coming up, which is going to be, I'm sure, before this podcast actually comes out. So there's a Laughing Dragon 1K we've been talking about that McBain and I and some other friends are going down to. I have awakened from my legacy cocoon and have been, I attended at least one weekly so far. So getting in all that good practice that I'm supposed to. And I think McBain, you've been grinding away, honing those skills, fetching your appropriate lands with your crop rotations. I don't know, stacking your triggers.
I forgot how good it feels to crop rot a land when someone wastelands you. It's just like,
it feels good every time.
Yeah. Oh, that was a land drop, and then you got nothing from it. and I'm just gonna go get another land. Like,
yeah, like I was gonna do this anyways, and then you just threw a card away. Also,
yeah. Every once in a while, though, when you do that, you get dazed, and it's like your parity on resources, but it just you're like, ooh, okay, right. Got me.
Yeah, or they force, and you're like, okay, I'll take that, sure.
Oh, force is fine, but like, yeah. Dazed, you're like,
dude, I love when somebody forces something that you don't care about. And you're like, yeah, I fucking hemmed you. Like, get got.
Oh, yeah. When I have the second Glistener Elf and I'm like, turn on Glistener Elf, and my opponent forces it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Spoiler, sometimes I don't win.
So for that, you've been testing lands. I'm assuming that's what you're thinking about playing at Laughing Dragon.
Yeah, I'm pretty much locked into lands for both events at this point. Mm. I want to do Laughing Dragon and then Eternal Weekend. Lands continues to perform decently well. I am a little concerned that particularly in like the Pacific Northwest metagame, sometimes there's just like, I could literally be coming back and saying, I just played like 3 mirror matches in a row. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. Like I could be saying that, but I still think like, lands is a pretty good call. I have been having fun with it. I do have like a good amount of reps with it. If I was to play something else, honestly, I'd probably just play like Delver or something, which I have been playing a bit of, but I am the skill that you need to navigate like the Delver mirrors and then also some of sorry.
It's too low for you.
Well, maybe not skill, maybe experience that you need to navigate some of the Delver mirrors and just know where like those doors are that you eventually need to get to.
Right. That's like one thing what are the things you need to, you know?
Yeah. Like what actually matters, like what you're saving your Power Blast for as opposed to not saving your Power Blast for all that bullshit. I just haven't put any reps in for that and I'm not really interested in just trying to get lucky with Delver. I'd rather just play land. So
I was hoping you were going to say you weren't interested in practicing Delver and I'd think, okay, you still have some piece of a soul worth redeeming.
We did have a bunch of people over last Friday at my house. So some of the people coming down and Best Kevin came, who's not going down to the event. He's like, yeah, sure. I'll like play and we can hang out. And so I gave him Blue Red Delver, like, fully powered and built. I was like, here, just play this against everyone, be the bad guy. And he like, I don't think he lost, or you know, he lost when like Elliot finally played his like Blue Zenith deck and just beat up on him. But before that, Kevin's just like, this deck's insane, like I just can't lose.
Now that it has like pure card advantage, it's just kind of like, okay,
yeah,
like, how do you
like every time like Dylan would be like, oh, Thought sees you with his Doomsday deck. He'd just look at his hand and be like, Kevin would just start laughing, like a giggle. He's just like, it's just like, so good. Okay. Yeah. So I think the lesson or the conclusion there was don't ever lend Best Kevin Volcanic Islands. That was the takeaway.
We've got an embargo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like Putin, but it's for the legacy scene in Vancouver.
It's saving us all money.
But I do want to say that it was just like, we were chatting in the Slack about like going down the event and doing some play testing. And then within like half an hour, there was just a bunch of people who were like, yeah, let's go play. Let's hang out. And then we were all like getting together and it just felt like, I don't know, something that even pre-COVID like wouldn't really happen that much.
Like I just want to say that I would have play together. Tested if you didn't kick me out of the channel. I was like, I'm not coming down to the event. I would have practiced.
Oh, that was so good.
That was great. it made me really jealous of not living in Vancouver. Like, you know, I live, it's like a 35 minute drive to your place, whatever, which isn't like insurmountable by any means, but the difference on like a Friday night between like, hey,
yeah,
we're gonna do this. So like, swing by, and you know, I'm like, okay, let me, you know, load up the sled, like, head out there. Yeah. So sad I missed it. I got some pictures. I saw a white border mongoose, I think, in honor of Jordan. So that's cool.
Yeah, I did. change our Twitter profile thing. The banner is the whiteboard in Among Us.
Oh shit, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, looks good.
Wow.
So Jeff, I'm gonna be playing lands. I don't know exactly what dials and knobs, like I'm probably 68, 69 and a half cards to my 75. I'm not exactly sure what I want it to be. There was recently, what's his name? Tim Schultz, I think, who just came back from the Vegas event and he was playing lands and he posted his list. And he has a one of Chandra, the Awakened Inferno on the sideboard, which has me very interested.
That's like the six mana uncounterable.
That's the six mana one. Cool. Yeah. So back when lands used to play Gamble, I would play one of those on the side and it was so sick. But one when you can't find it is less sick, but maybe still sick enough.
Whenever you see those sideboards and like a good result, you're like, oh, you drew it. Like you just naturally drew it, I guess.
I don't know. Well, it's obviously just like sampling bias, but like often I always hear them say like, never drew this card. Like to exactly that point of like, oh, you got the cool one of sideboard. Like it's like, no, you didn't. You just never saw it. It never mattered. Don't worry about
it. That's always my experience when I'm like testing something and like, you know, and even like kind of logically, you're like, oh, well, I'm testing the third copy of something. Like I'll mark that one or I'll put it like backwards. So like, I know if I'm playing, you know, ooh, that's the difference. That would have been a land or something. Like anytime in my life I've done that, I've never seen that fucking card.
Also, is that accurate?
What?
Like, is that an accurate representation of like
what? Like, I don't think so. It's like a simple heuristic to know, right? Mm-hmm. Like say you're playing like an extra planes, you know, I'd play like a different art planes or something. So if I see it, I'm thinking like, ah, like that would have been a different thing here. And I'm sure math wise, it doesn't really break down, but it's a good, you know, visual feedback when you actually see it ever.
I feel like this is like, I mean, I know you guys occasionally brainstorm, you know, like McBain used to do it a lot, less so now, but like as the, I guess like the token blue mage on the podcast, it's like the opposite of you're like, I play this card. And you're like, oh, was it good? You're like, pitched a force like five times. Mm-hmm. Fucking excellent. Like what you do? Oh, I threw it into my exile zone and then I also boarded it out like 10 times. Easy decisions. Loved it.
And D&T, if you're playing something that's like you can't recruit for, you're just like, well, I have an 80 card deck and I boarded it in four matchups and never saw it. So I cannot review. But for all of that said, I don't think I'm gonna be playing D&T. Definitely not at Laughing Dragon. And unless some stuff changes, not at Eternal Weekend either. I was thinking about celebrating my return to Paper Magic by making the biggest sticker deck I could find. My stuff showed up in time for last week, but that would involve borrowing like a bunch of caverns and or not caverns, City of Traders and like some other stuff. And I was just like, I don't want to put that together and look up the sticker rules and sit there and have to explain the sticker rules to people because I can't be bothered to remember them myself yet. So I jerked to the other side and leaned into the initiative stompy deck that I also got all the pieces here for. Still had to borrow some cities, but got to play a version of it. It was kind of funny putting a list together because it's still like not super refined. If you start looking, you know, there's a player, I think in France, Oni, that's been doing well with it at like local events. And, Peter White in Seattle has been playing it as well to some, success. And like, you know, JR XJ Cloud has been like brainstorming up lists and putting it together, but obviously you can't test it online yet. But when you start looking through these lists, like you have the core pieces of the eight things that take the initiative. And then, you know, Chalice, and then the rest of it's just kind of a mix of like whatever. Well, I guess just Four Solitude usually, and then Emiria's Call. But like, honestly, you just start throwing in shitty white cards you own, So I was missing some of the normal standby ones, which would be Archon of Emeria. And, you know, the other one some people were playing was Anointed Peacekeeper, who's that newish like 3/3 vigilance where like you see somebody's hand and then you name a card and it costs more to cast. I didn't have those, and I was even missing an Emeria's Call. So I just played like Dungeon Stompy with cards I own. So I got to flip open my D&T trash box and just start look combing for like everything that costs two and a white. So I played some big Thalias, which I haven't touched in years. And I also played two Aven Mind Sensors and then four Squadron Hawks. Because in my head, I was like, hey, you're playing Chrome Mox. You're playing Solitude. Like Squadron Hawks seems sick, right?
That is actually pretty big brain.
Mm-hmm.
Exiling Squadron Hawk to Chrome Mox is like the mono white equivalent of like, how is that card? I exiled it to Force of Will. Excellent.
But not even, because it's like, you can't do it for the first Squadron Hawk. So what are you getting? You're getting like turn four acceleration. You're like, oh yeah, here's my Chrome Mox.
Let me hard cast my Solitude. Boom, got there.
Oh.
Okay, all right.
I'll yeah, so I mean, I just play this in the weekly. And it took me a long time to figure out exactly what the fuck the initiative and the Undercity is. I mean, for a gist, for me who doesn't know, all these new cards, they take the initiative, like you get the initiative, you get a emblem that's almost like the Monarch, which is the initiative. And then when you get it, and on your upkeep, if you have it, you enter a specific dungeon that's called the Undercity. And, you know, there's different ways you can move through there. And basically is one line to make something bigger, nug somebody for five, draw a card. And then the end room is you flip the top 10 cards of your deck and you put a creature into play.
Squadron Mark.
And the creature gets 3+1/+1 counters and is hexproof until your next turn. And then, you know, start the dungeon over again. So you just turbo out one of these initiative things and enter the initiative or enter the dungeon and you just let it go. And like, it's fucking crazy.
It is kind of nutty that you can just like Solitude bullshit. Like if they're trying to like take it back from you, you're mm-hmm. like, no, you're not.
I had a game against Elliot where I was like, I am very far behind. Like I'm going to lose here. He's got this big creature. I don't have anything to deal with it right now. Like I am going to finish the dungeon, but you know, I need to hit a Solitude off of this. So I just pick up 10 cards. Oh, there's a Solitude. Meh, comes into play, kills your guy, like swing, kill all your stuff. It seems extremely strong. The fact too, that the first room on the initiative or the Undercity, you can go find a basic land. So
it goes in your hand, right?
Yeah, it just goes in your hand. Okay. But still, like being able to just like chuck away resources or even keep a land light hand where you know you can like, you know, Chrome Mox and like Ancient Tomb out like the White Plume Adventurer and like put it into play, find the planes, and like, you know, you just extend like the consistency.
So roughly how many cards would it be valued at? You've got the card itself, a land. Mm-hmm. Like 5 damage and then getting another card into play. It's like a 5-for-1.
Kind well, he also of. Draw like a you... card. Yeah. At some point. Yeah. And if you go the other route, you can like make a 4-1. You can scry. You can like goad something, which I don't think you ever want to do. But there's options you can choose to go through. And the fact that like you don't have to do anything else aside from just not get hit is huge. I had a game
don't
where
you,
I just
like,
turn one.
Want to goad something?
Hmm?
Don't you like most want to goad something?
You want to force something to attack you?
Isn't just like the ultimate achievement where you're like, ah, fuck, goad your guy.
Well, I did actually goad somebody's like Mother of Runes because like, what are you going to do? Come on.
Mother of Runes is goaded.
I was just like, just as a flex, you know, and you'd be like, sure, hit me.
It's true. But that is like right on the same line as like nug somebody for 5. Right. So it's hard to say
like
no.
Once you've chosen your route, you're chosen your route. But
there is like different small paths, but yeah.
It's
but
like I'm saying, have you ever worn a great outfit that's really uncomfortable? And sometimes it's worth it. I'm not a fashionable guy, but I'm just saying sometimes it's worth it.
Okay, I'll think about it. I'll goad your glistener elf this week.
Perfect.
This does look sweet, Jeff. Like yeah. It's kind of just like white stompy in a way.
It's the by far the best white stompy's ever been. Like,
yeah,
the fact that you can just turn one like a guy, and I mean, if they don't force it, like I had a game I turned one to a White Plume Adventurer, and Elliot just immediately killed it. Like when I went to put the triggers on it, because otherwise, turn one, you play this thing, you get a land. Turn two, you get two counters on it. It's a 5/5. Your turn two, attacking for 5. Turn three, you hit them for 5 off the trap, and then you hit them for 5 again. Like it kills people fucking fast.
But even like, just the like chalice on one,
mm-hmm.
go. Now I'm gonna play my dude.
Yep.
Or like chalice on one into Thalia bullshit. Like, I don't know. This feels like a modern deck in some ways.
Yeah.
Like where it's just powerful and linear. But I like it.
It's scary how much inevitability you get from this stupid dungeon that keeps exploring itself. Because the game against Elliot, I played this turn one, he just killed it. And then it's like, okay, like, you know,
yeah.
I'm going it's like through.
I play Maze of Ith or something. I'm like, huzzah. And then you're like, don't care.
I'm yeah, just gonna there's keep still doing this shit. Clock coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the deck's cool. There's definitely a lot of intricacy that I need to figure out. And like, just even like, general dexterity over like remembering when the hell triggers happen, and the fact that like White Plume Adventurer and the other one, Veteran Dungeoneer or something, but that they have actual text aside from just, you know, you get the initiative,
do the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. White Plume is like at the beginning of your opponent's upkeep, you can untap a creature. And if you've completed a dungeon, you can untap all your creatures. So very easy to forget because of the timing. And it's just a kind of a weird ability. But the deck's sweet, and I'm probably going to play it again this week, and then I'll definitely play it at Laughing Dragon with the new cards that I actually have here. Just need to figure out a list. It's, yeah, the fact that it's in that like emerging space for a list too is really interesting.
Is there any maybe board cards that like you've been favoring or that you've been interested in that you haven't seen elsewhere?
I was playing a few Unlicensed Hearths last week, which I've only seen in JR's lists. And I mean, that card's just extremely good to have around, even in a stompy deck.
Very flexible.
Yeah. It's just like that kind of miser guy, right? Like you run it out there, you just like eat some stuff, you like eat a bunch of value out of their deck. If you're lucky, you hit something actually relevant, like an Uro. But you know, then you just also have like a big idiot you can attack with.
Imagine
I fucking hate that card.
They come, like, they're like, oh, you got nothing to crew with. I'm going to attack you. And you're like, flash an Aven Mind Sensor and crew my thing so I can eat their creature.
Yeah,
Mind Sensor. I guess you could do that with the Solitude as well.
Mind Sensor is good. Like, shit that's good all the time that hates out a specific thing is like the fucking worst shit they've... No, it's not. The worst shit they've introduced is the, like, you can't draw cards, but I can.
Yep.
Who was... But, like, someone was, man, playing...
fuck that card. Card sucks.
On Friday, Lensic was playing Unlicensed Hearths in a sideboard of his Doomsday deck so that I couldn't endurance him. He just kept eating his graveyard so that when he did go off, I couldn't like put cards back underneath.
He's going like, to put it. Wow.
And then you had like the weird corner case of like, I'm going to play a Street Wraith and animate my thing. But it was more just a reusable effect that he could like eat cards.
Just like with. A super Relic of Progenitus.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he was playing so like weird. Tempo Doomsday, though, right? So he had more.
Yeah, he was playing Tempo Doomsday. Yeah, so you could do stuff with
crew it. With a Murktide. That's true. It buffs Murktide. You get a Murktide out, you start eating stuff with a car. Murktide gets bigger.
Yeah, no, there's a little. There's a universe where someone's having fun with that. but even like the Solitude flash in on an Evoke and then just be like, crew.
Yeah, it's also just something that consistently proves like Solitude's like fucked up, and like what's more fucked up than like a, you know, a Solitude is like having like a 6/5 Solitude. It's like you flip it off the dungeon thing, you know, eat something of theirs, and then you're like, I am gaining a fuckload of life next turn. Like, this thing's getting in.
I don't know, it's sweet. Yep. The fact that it's like, yeah, I don't know, it does speak to how broken the soul lands are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of those conclusions or that takeaway in that Heritage event too, where they're just like, yeah, soul lands are really good, what do you know? But that's just the price you're paying, I guess, for not playing Brainstorm.
I feel like you're probably right, but it's also something that just speaks to how fucked up these stupid, barely interactable mechanics they keep making are.
Yeah, like Saltlands are only as powerful as like... And for a long time, like spells weren't powerful enough. You know, like you had show and tell, but you have like other cards in your hand. Like now you just like play a thing and it always, every single thing sticks around for value.
Yeah.
If you had a spell that was take the initiative, like it would still be quite good for 3 mana. But there's just like this fucking dude that's like sits there because everything has fucking legs.
All right, calm down. We were doing so good.
I didn't even play against you.
No, I did. It's also like when you lose to Stompy, you're like, oh yeah, I'm playing Brainstorm. Like, I fucking deserve this. Like, you chalice to me. That's the thing. If someone chalices you, I'm like, yeah, fuck, I got chalice. I'm like, that's my fault for not having like any other mana costs in my deck. When you just like, someone's just like, oh, I slammed this thing. Like, what happens? I'm like, well, it just lives as a large creature that's like undercosted and then also does other shit. Like, why?
Like, it should be a fucking spell.
At least you had Spirit of the Labyrinth, a good magic card. Aether Sworn Canonist, good magic card.
This is totally unplanned, Jeff, but mm-hmm. Tell me about this white legend disenchant creature.
I don't remember the name of it. But I mean, you basically hit all the good
Lauren
points.
Or something like that.
Lauren of the Third Path or something. I mean, 2 and a white, human something, legendary, ETB Reclamation Sage, destroy an artifact or enchantment. So, I mean, exactly what people have been asking for white forever. And I don't think as like a bullshit D&T gets everything, whatever, like white Reclamation Sage is something that just makes sense.
Okay, so hold on. It's Vigilance. It has come into play.
Yeah.
When it comes into play, destroy up to 1 target artifact or enchantment, and then tap you and target opponent each draw a card.
And it's a 2/1.
And it's a 2/1.
Legendary.
That is
legendary creature, human artificer.
For the record.
Sorry?
Loran's a 4-mana 3/3. When Loran, Disciple of History, or another legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, return target artifact from your graveyard to your hand.
Oh, baby.
Different kind of value.
What's this thing's name?
Oh, this is also Loran. What the fuck?
Wow, get owned. Get owned.
Oh, yeah. There's in the same set. And wait, is one commander?
There's also, for like Urza and like Mishra, there's the same thing. There's one at Uncommon, Rare, and Mythic.
Yeah, they're all different. Okay, sorry. Loran, Disciple of History is the one I just read. Loran of the Third Path. Is that like Feldon's daughter or Feldon's mom?
I don't know. Isn't his daughter and his Feldon's mom both like robots sister? Or something now?
Loran of the Third Path is the one we're talking about. Yeah. Oh shit. Oh yeah, yeah. And then it has cap you and target opponent draw card.
Yeah. Card
six. So the fact that you can do that with Spirit of the Labyrinth just for like that little extra value. When I saw that, like the fact that it was legendary and you can like Caracas bounce it and just continually erode artifacts or enchantments.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know next time you see Walio and he's playing as bullshit enchantment deck, you can be like, hey, 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 I'm going to slowly disenchant you, but then you'll still lose anyway. But the Spirit of the Labyrinth tech is pretty sweet. It's just one of those things where it feels like there's enough little bits here that like there's enough juice in the lemon to squeeze.
Yeah, it's really interesting because the spot that like the bases that it covers have largely been taken up by like Skyclave Apparition or Cathar Commando. But obviously, I mean, proof of Cathar Commando existing in the deck is that being able to kill something unrestricted by mana cost is very important. And this is an effect people are looking for forever. So to see this printed as just that is extremely cool. And the fact that you can Caracas it, also very cool. I look forward to having Wild on 3 and search it, right? The magic less than 3 toughness.
I wasn't even thinking of Bile on 3, but of course Bile on 3. Oh my Caracas god.
Just how else does D&T play shit? Of course it will exist.
Apparently it's been a while since I
And notably, it's not like one white white like everything is too. You can cast it off of terrible mana, which is perfect for D&T. Yeah, no, that card's super cool. Card's going to be definitely a one of.
If Sam Black hadn't have saved Modern from Caracas, do you think this card would be legendary?
It would still be legendary, and I would play Modern.
You guys are living in some weird counterfactuals.
Dude, Caracas without Wasteland, like, first of all, Modern would be fucked up. But I mean, Vile, Caracas, like, that's all I want to do all day.
Okay.
That was so funny. Just... first thing I did was tell him to not bring Caracas as Modern.
So going back to lands and what I've been playtesting and wanting to play. Caracas is like in some of like the four color Dirtle control decks and stuff, you're just like Caracas and they just can't win. Like they just sit there and then okay, I guess I can't play my Minsk and Boo and my Uro doesn't really do anything. Huh, interesting. And you're like playing Urza's Saga, copy it with Thespian Stage, do some stuff. And
all the time like, in the world.
And they're just like, I can't deal with this. Like, yeah, Caracas is fucked up. I even had one where my opponent played a Caracas and I was just like, test me on stage that. You can't win. Way to go.
I fucking, every time I get owned by Thespian Stage like that is so upsetting. Like, Thespian Stage would be so much less cool if it said, like, you know, you can only copy your own stuff. But, like, I could see that existing. I said less cool. Because, like, every time, like, you know, I play a Wasteland, it's like, I'm going to get him. And then it was just like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, waste your whatever. If it's not Thespian Stage, you're like, well, I'll make a Wasteland. Like, oh, no.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, another Thespian Stage is so
well
good.
Well, Magic card, 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Just some of the weird, like, copying Urza's Saga. And then, like, copying a forest or something.
Oh, your plans, I mean, just let's like... not go to Wazai Magikarp and then copying Urza's Saga. I was thinking more like, don't play your Dark Depths, idiot.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I've done that in Cube online. It's so good. Somebody's trying to do their own Dark Depths. You're like, oh, well, I just have a Miser's Thespian Stage in my sideboard. I'll just bring that in.
Your opponent just frantically thawing out their like dark touch. You're like, stage, go.
So yeah, lands, initiative, Quinn. Is there anything in particular that you're leaning towards right now when it comes to like if you were attending Laughing Dragon and or what are you thinking for a tournament weekend?
Like I kind of still know how to play Infect, so I'm like leaning on that, but doesn't seem great in like a I feel like in a large field like there's gonna be Delver, whereas for in or you know in a local I think I'm the last person I saw playing Delver, which is really funny. I played the fucking spicy version with what's that little artifact dude? You like that guy? No, the white card.
Oh, Esper.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Esper Sentinel, Stifle, Day. That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's sick.
But yeah, I that was the last time I saw a Delver at our local. But I'm expecting I will see, you know, more here. So Infect versus Blue Red Delver, never been the greatest, probably worse now. So I'm going to keep testing it. We'll see. I'm leaning towards playing Painter.
Hell yeah.
I think it's like Game Is Everything. Like, it's not the best against like some of the graveyard decks. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but it's fucking cool.
I think you just like, if that's what you give up equity on, you know, like if you, I feel like if you like lose your first match and end up in like the reanimator like bracket, you know, it is what it is. But if you win a couple, you're probably going to like dodge a lot of that, you know, the Reanimator is very strong.
When you like, it's, I just love having a whole bunch of blast effects.
That's the other thing.
Game one, yeah. you're like
playing against Delver and you just have like a shitload of red blasts. Like,
yeah.
Or you're playing against Doomsday and you have a shitload of red blasts. Also, you know, yeah, pretty strong.
No, it's really good. And then when you have the Painter going and you're just like, oh, you missed a land draw? Oh, I guess I'll just Stone Rain two of your lands.
I think like the, with all respect to like the, I think the original Magic Bob Ross, like I want to play Shortcake, but I think I'm just playing like the Callum Four Fury Four Fable version. It just seems like so powerful.
No, I think that's the correct line.
Like having someone play elves and just being like, oh, let me bring my other two furies.
You know,
how do they get you unless they just go off on like turn two?
You just mentioned it, McBain, when you're talking about stone raining somebody with like a pyroblast. And I was just thinking about this today when I was looking at that Stompy list and like even Mind Sensor and like why I love Mind Sensor, even though it's terrible. And it's just that my favorite thing to do in Magic is make it so my opponents cannot play the game of Magic. So like Rashad Port, Wasteland, Thalia, like anything I can do that, like, I don't want to interact with their spells. I don't want to interact with their permanents. I just want them to not be able to do anything. Like that is when, you know, everything is lighting up for me.
In a proactive way. Like you're preemptively saying you can't do this.
I want you to look at the possibilities in your hand and think, damn.
So what you're saying when is I should run like blue black Delver with like Shadow of a Doubt.
Yeah.
And like Sinkhole and just roll so that I win the die roll every time I'm on the play.
Yes, absolutely.
Ain't no day one, no problems.
Bringing in a slight old school tangent, I'm a huge fan of City in a Bottle. And when you can, like when someone today, I had killed two City of Brass, and then my opponent was just sitting there with two Serendipum Freaks in their hand, and they're like, man, this card's good. And I was like, they went to play it at first, and I was like, sir, you cannot play that card. And they're just like, so does it die? I'm like, no, you literally are not allowed to cast it from your hand. Like you can't.
Yeah, it's actually better than like what you originally thought. Like you just can't.
Yeah. So it's the ultimate like proactive. It's just like, no, you're not. You cannot. Like, I wonder if there was like a Modern Horizons bottle, or is like two colorless.
Oh my god, it'd be my favorite card of all time.
Destroy all Modern Horizons cards and they can no longer be played. That would be fucking sick.
That's the
card. Would never win a tournament again.
We print that card for the Canna Thresh Invitational, City of Glass. It's just the Vancouver skyline. And you put into play, you blow up every Modern Horizons or Modern Horizons 2 card, and then no more can be played.
It's just supplemental cards. All supplemental cards are destroyed.
Oh,
but just Baleful Strix should not die for the sins of these other terrible magic cards.
Rest in peace, Baleful Strix
is, I think, it's not my favorite magic of all time because favorite, there's some like, you know, personal feelings there. I think Baleful Strix is the perfect magic card.
Not Ice Fang Koala?
No.
No.
I am a Baleful Strix appreciator. Before Esperile and Asper Esperile.
Like, perfect. It just like comes in, it does its thing. It's like, you're not like, why is it these colors?
You're right. It's on flavor for everything.
Yep.
Sometimes you have a Baleful Strix in your hand or you draw a Baleful Strix and you're like, fuck, not Baleful Strix. You know, like, it's just perfect. Like, it's great. And then, sometimes it's the worst card in your deck.
And then there's like the Homer meme and it's like, wait, Baleful Strix gets more Baleful Strix.
When you're playing against like Shadow or something and you're like, Baleful Strix. Oh, baby, Baleful Strix. Like, game over. We did it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, so you're going to play Baleful Strix.deck. It's decided.
I was thinking of playing Ninjas, actually.
Cavern on Bird. It feels good. Cavern on Bird. Make it happen.
Bird is the word.
So you're playing ninjas though.
Damn. Maybe, I don't know. I think painter's the right call.
I think you got to get some reps in because there's a lot of weird lines and stuff in that deck.
Yeah, I think there's less in the, not to say that it's easy to play, but I think there's less than in Shortcake where you have to think of like, I'm going to recruit her, I'm going to do this thing. Like, it's a little more like power now, right?
Yeah.
And also like with Urza Saga too, you know, versus like back in the day, sometimes just like a don't do anything, I'll beat you down. Like, it's fine. Kill Painter.
It does feel like a really good Urza Saga deck. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
I think it's the best Urza Saga deck.
Yeah.
Because like, even if you're
Death
like...
Death and Taxes is just like not even in the same universe as Urza Saga now.
Yep, moved on. See you later.
Like someone pointing removal at your construct when you have like Active Welder, it's just like, okay. Like, I guess. Like... You've cut off one avenue. Here comes the other thing.
Yeah. I think Painter seems like a good call. Honestly, I could even see myself audibling to it, but I've got
that would
plans.
Be like the biggest, like the true, like you would earn the title of Legacy Dad. If I'm like, I'm Braxton Painter, I think I'm ready, guys. Then we show up and like McBane, like, where's your land stake? He's like, I just didn't want to carry my tabby around. So I'm mostly going to play Painter. And it's like when you're like, did you ever arm wrestle your dad when you were a kid? And like that would
not be really.
In the hotel room.
I don't think so.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. I would always be like, Dad, do you want to arm wrestle? And he'd be like, I guess. And then even when I was like 16, 17, I'm like, I'm powerful now, Dad. He's like, you're not. My dad was a fisherman, so he's working this or like hands the whole like his whole life. No, this is just like someone's gonna get this out there. I feel like this is not uncommon. But anyways, you just showing up surprised, be like, look at my deck box, and me being like, Painter's Servant, Fable of the Mirror Breaker, Goblin Welder, would be like me being like, McBain, do you want to arm wrestle? And you just being like, okay.
Sure. But
I've been painting with these arms for 20 years. You don't even know.
I don't have the Furies, but I think that's it.
I got the Furies. Let me know.
No, I need your Furies. I got dibs on two Furies. I have two. I need two more. I also need two. I need two more Fables. I ordered one. Found one for a good price.
I got two Fables.
Perfect.
Well, I need two Furies and four Fables, so there's that.
Look at this.
I could always play the one that has like Karn and plays a little bit different.
That would be the ultimate arm wrestling your dad if you're like, well, actually, I played the big brain version that Jack Kitchen's playing, and my record is much better than yours, and I would respect the hell of it.
I'm excited. So we've got Laughing Dragon in the bag. Jeff, you've already won. You've taken the initiative from the event. I've crashed and burned with lands. I'm now contemplating life and potentially playing Painter with Quinn at Eternal Weekend. Jeff, you're flying from Toronto to Philadelphia to join us for Eternal Weekend.
Hell yeah.
Life is good.
We're going to New York City after too. Not match related, but
yeah. And then Quinn, you and I are going to go to New York City after, potentially with our friend Rob, and then my partner Liz is going to come. It's going to be great.
I'm going to see LCD Sound System, the band that I went to see the very first time I went to New York City. Also,
wow,
holy.
If we're close to it, we could go to 20 Sided Store in Williamsburg. Shout out to 20 Sided Store, excellent magic store. Which I also did on my first trip to New York.
If I've learned nothing, it's going to a magic store with your partner when you're traveling is a great idea.
You just pop in, buy boosters, fine.
They clearly have to buy like some like unlimited dual land or something. Like, oh, it's just, you know, it was on sale. Christmas special.
Got a good deal.
Anything else, or do we want to wrap it up on that high note there.
I think that's probably it for now.
Jeff, congratulations on taking down the event.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now I got to do this. Fuck. Fuck.
Don't forget to book your... While we're in the future, make sure you fix that plane ticket error from Toronto to Philadelphia so that you get there on time.
Ticket error?
I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The truth is that there's a Christmas party at work, and it's either the Thursday or the Friday. And if it's a Friday, it'll be like Christmas party to airport. Bye bye.
Can you just be like, oh, I have a bit of a cough. I don't want. I should
probably just head home. It feels like if they're flying me to Toronto for work, I should attend the Christmas party that's there.
I'm gonna put on my like socialist hat right now. And be like, your work is stealing from you every minute that you're on the clock.
Am I being paid for this?
If the only thing you steal from them is the expectation that you go to another event for free, they're not paying you for, who's really stealing from who?
Yeah, Jeff.
Wise words. Them.
What do you owe that Dutch guy who hired you? Or whatever he is. Danish. I can't remember.
Wow.
I think you know somebody.
All right, Jeff, let's go to That's Gas. What do you got for gas this week?
I was thinking about this, and like I had something.
Take the initiative. Come on, man. Come up.
And I had like a McBain style thing that was like nothing to do with like anything magic or anything.
Venn diagram.
Yeah. And then I lost it all. I forgot all of my thoughts and my notes just vacated my mind.
Can I interrupt then?
Please.
I have a good one.
And I think can I piggyback?
You're all gonna piggyback off this. We're all gonna agree on something for once. There was like a postscript that ended up being the prescript to last episode.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then I know that's not like, I know I'm trying to make you guys feel bad if you forgot, because it's been a while, unfortunately. I just want to say condolences to Jordan Azaka's family, his friends. I miss you, buddy.
Yeah. You're a guy. Absolutely. It's going to be really strange being at, any event around Seattle without Jordan around. And it's been great to see, I know his brother posted on the Seattle Facebook group looking for anybody to, post video or interviews or podcasts or anything with Jordan. And there's so many posts in there. Like that guy found the camera, and he found the spot. Very funny to see Uncovered too, which I didn't realize that he was on, I think, two episodes of our friend Phil's Vancouver thing, the Vancouver Mulligan. And scrolling through there and just peeking at these videos, man, that's so cool. It's a great way to, have memories of somebody there. And it's awesome that, he's so plugged into the community and that it's something, his family can see and see all these people coming together and sharing stories. Absolute shout out to Jordan, and these events are going to be very strange without him.
Yeah, 100%. It was really neat to, particularly Quinn, when you had that great intro and then had linked in the show notes a bunch of more local stuff for us where Jordan's come up to Vancouver and participated in stuff. But yeah, some of those events, like again, as he said when he was on our show, like he really wears his heart on his sleeve. And when he's feeling something, like when he's like high on some kind of like 1% outer and he hits it, like you just can't help but love it. So it's
the commentary, the Miracles versus Four Color Control match. One, that is like actually one of the most insane games of magic I've seen in my life. But it's like perfect that he was one of the people doing commentary, because just like the pure joy, like, and it As someone who has expressed their like kind of like waning excitement about Magic, it's just got me like fired up, you know, to be like, oh, this is like actually what I love. You know, this is why I have emotion, you know, I can see several boxes full of like at this point, like maybe tens of thousands of dollars worth of like children's toys. It was like that, you know, like that really encapsulated everything. Where I'm like, oh, this is what made it worth it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have really appreciated like all the other kind of podcasts in the community have been kind of doing their own component. Like he touched the entire community around the world, which is pretty cool. Not something that not many people can say. So very cool.
On that note, I think we can finish it off. When we're back, we'll be with Laughing Dragon Legacy 1K. Is it 1K?
Yep. Or more. 1K plus.
Legacy. Let's like just shoot for the moon here. Legacy 2K champion of Kinsey. Talking about his guaranteed trip to Philadelphia to defend his title and become the legacy champion of the world, I guess, of North America at least.
Going for that crown.
Yeah.
A lot of the heels of this victory.
Yeah.
First, Eric Froelich. Next, Philadelphia.
The commentary. they're like, I don't know why Eric would do this. Still so perfect.
Oh, Mike, that's great.
Thanks for listening, y'all. See you later.
And I mean, like, if I snapshotted this, I would say that Jeff Kinsey's in huge trouble.
He is in big trouble.